Yes, sir. What is going on, y'all? Happy Friday to everybody. And welcome to the Coach Cool Podcast for episode number 131, where we are sitting down with one of the best linebackers in Michigan State football history, a native of Cleveland, Ohio, and one lights out dude in Mr. Joe Bocci. And excited to chop it up with him and get him to share his insights on everything that he has going on right now in his life and his upbringing and his football career and everything in between. And when I think about this podcast and what I try to employ every single day when it comes to perspective and challenge and consistency and toughness and hard work, I don't know if there's many dudes out there that showcase that stuff on a day-to-day basis than Joe. So again, really excited to have him on, chop it up with him, get to know him a little bit better, and let you guys inside his world a little bit and get his perspective on a couple of things. So happy Friday to everybody. Thank you for tuning in with me today. And let's get this thing rocking. The Coach Cool Podcast Friday Discussion, episode 131, baby, with Mr. Joe Bocci. Let's get it, y'all.
Do you have questions about buying or selling real estate? Are you concerned about the current state of the market? Well, I can assure you that you are not alone. I'm Riley Bulla, a real estate agent for the Bartik Group at Keller Williams here in Denver, Colorado. When I retired from the National Football League, I wanted to work in an industry that was competitive and also allowed me to create my own business. Working in real estate has allowed me to purchase my own investment properties and also help others sell and buy their dream homes. If you are interested in having a conversation with me, no matter where you are in the country, please reach out to me at 720-432-6491. I look forward to hearing from you and helping you enjoy all the benefits that real estate investing has to offer.
All right, Joe, it is time to kick this thing off. And I just gave my guy a longer intro. I'm on the forefront of this thing, so I will spare you guys that yet again. But it's exciting. I'm ecstatic to have this dude on the line today, chop it up with him, see what he's got going on, and learn a thing or two from none other than Mr. Joe Bocci. Joe, welcome to the Coach Cool Podcast, brother. Thank you for coming on. I'm excited to get this thing going, dude. So welcome.
I appreciate that, Coop. Thanks for having me.
No doubt, dude. And real quick, I know a lot of people listening probably know who you are, what you're about, but if you want to kind of provide a quick little background on you, where you come from, kind of your lineage and how you got into this point where you're at today, I think that'd be a great place to start, brother.
Well, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I was raised there my entire life, a suburb called Brook Park.
Okay.
That's where my family's at. Majority of my aunts, uncles, my grandparents, when they were alive, we were all right there. So it was a very close-knit family. I ended up at Michigan State, only had a few MAC offers before that. Obviously, the career went as it did. And I was very happy with the career, very happy with Michigan State. It's my favorite place in the world. I had great times there on and off the field. And now just trying to chase a dream, really. A dream that I've had since I've been a little kid.
Love it. Yeah, and you are in the thick of that thing right now. We're going to get to that in a second, dude. But let's take it back a little bit. Let's go back to Cleveland. Let's go back to your upbringing. Midwest, blue-collar spot. Metro Detroit cat myself. I think there's something to be said about that type of upbringing and just growing up in that type of environment. So generally speaking, Joe, and I'll get into specifics in a second, but when you think about your upbringing in Cleveland and your parents and everything that kind of went along with that, what did that background kind of mean to you? What did that upbringing mean to you in terms of who you are today? And just what are kind of your general thoughts when it comes to that stuff for you, brother?
Yeah, my parents, they were hard on me. They were tough on me, as well as my brother. They're both grinders, both my parents, their entire life. That's how they've been. Neither one of them had the chance to go to college. My mother had to get a job when she was young, about 16, 17. She's been working at that same spot now for 30 years, I believe it is, actually, this year. And she's done a phenomenal job there. She just continued to work her way up. She's now an office manager there. And my father, he works for the city. You know, he didn't do all the right things growing up throughout high school. Was a great athlete, though. And, you know, he's been working his tail off, whether it's been first shift, third shift, you know, trying to get me and my brother around when we were younger to baseball practice, to basketball games, whatever it was, he was trying to figure out a way. And that didn't matter. If he had to work from 11 at night to 7 in the morning to get us to practice the games, he was doing that. But that's how he always was. My grandparents were the same way, and I'm very blessed to come from this family.
Man, that
I think that speaks volumes, and I think that stuff comes through when, you know, you kind of watch you play. You know, you're just kind of that guy that just gets the job done no matter what it's got to take, your effort levels, your stuff like that. And I think that shines through, and that makes so much sense now that you kind of articulate it like that. And that's one thing that I'm really high on, Joe, is I talk a lot about, you know, obviously having a vision for what you want to do, talk about it a little bit. But at the end of the day, you still got to be about it through your actions. So do you think, you know, in some part or some kind of way, watching your dad go about what he had to do to provide for you guys, your mom the same way, and just witnessing that stuff on a day-to-day basis, like, was that intuitively just kind of being ingrained in your mind? Was that something that they kind of preached to you as well? Like, what was kind of that mesh point between them teaching you stuff through their words, but then also with their actions, whether it was going to work or raising you guys? Like, what did that kind of look like for you? How do you think that kind of had an influence on your upbringing as well?
Yeah, I always had to earn whatever I wanted in life. Gotcha. My parents were the same way. Nothing was ever given to us. We were never given a ton of money. We were never given, you know, all the accolades that people want. But we always just found a way. That's how my family's been. It's how me and my brother are. And that definitely carries over to the field. It carries over off the field as well when I'm trying to go about getting a degree. I was the first one in my family to get a college degree, and that meant a ton to me. And that was a huge reason I came back for my senior year. My family means so much to me. I knew that piece of paper meant a lot to them. But like I said, man, effort and toughness, those are the two things you can always control. And that's what my dad always ingrained in me. That's how I play the game of football. Knowledge helps me out a ton. And I've always been a coach's son. My dad's been a high school football coach for 20 plus years. I grew up around football. Didn't even know what I was watching when I was younger, but I was always watching it. I was always around the game. Being one of the hitting dummies when I was real little, probably for the high school, which is always what I've done. And I love the game so much, and I love how my parents raised me.
Yeah, no, I feel you. And when it comes to growing up, obviously we know who you are as a football player, but you played a bunch of sports. So kind of touch on that, because I think I'm the same way in terms of how we tick, where it wasn't just football or it wasn't just basketball. It was kind of a well-rounded experience when it comes to athletics in general. So, like, do you think that played a big part in your development, whether it was playing different sports, different experiences, stuff like that? How did that kind of help you and formulate you not just to a good athlete, but also a person as well?
Yeah, well, to start it, I think playing multiple sports is great because you never know what your body's going to turn into. There was times in my life, whether it was 7th, 8th, 9th grade, I thought I was going to be a baseball player and a basketball player. But, you know, when you stop growing at 6'1", you're probably not going to be the small forward in the NBA. So you got to move past that. Then I thought I was going to be a baseball player. I was always good at baseball. It was probably my best sport, to be honest, growing up. But I knew I wanted to play football. I just had a passion, a love for the game of football. And that's what happened. You know, I ended up going to Michigan State with that. But I believe playing all three sports has helped me a ton. I played center field, shortstop, catcher, point guard, small forward, center, whatever it was. I've played basically every position. I understand how to compete. And that's the main thing with playing all three sports. You're just constantly competing 365 days a year just to get better. And you're just bettering yourself as a person, as an athlete.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. And I remember when we were a few summers ago, we were up in Traverse City. And I don't know, for me, I think as a former multi-sport athlete, maybe it's the kind of the coaching side of me, I'm always trying to watch how people move and how they operate, whether they're throwing something or running or doing these different things. And we were playing cornhole, or we were playing, you know, beersby or whatever it was. And I just remember you throwing that thing like an athlete. So that's when we got to talking about that stuff. And because, you know, some people get up on that thing and it's like looking like they never threw a baseball in their life or a frisbee or cornhole. It's like, it's like, holy hell, man, you know, you got to get that together a little bit. But with you, you just kind of move like that. So, you know what, I think something else that just kind of came to mind when thinking about that is, for me personally, Joe, when it comes to playing multi-sports, you know, whether it was growing up or in high school or what have you, you know, I think about the translation in regards to the athletic skills. So like in baseball, I played center field kind of like you. So when it came to returning punts in football, like it was the same thing. You got to track the ball. You got to find your spot, do these different things. Or maybe it was playing safety and it was just like D-ing somebody up in basketball. Like the translation's there. But when it comes to maybe learning things about life, when it comes to different sports. So obviously you play linebacker, you got to be aggressive, where for me in baseball, I think I learned patience, because if you're batting 300, you're doing pretty damn good, but that still means you're failing 7 out of 10 times. Like, so that taught me patience and to respect failure and do all these different things. So like When it comes to that angle on it, do you think there's some benefits you found along the way with that as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think when people think of sports, they think of toughness all the time and physical toughness more than anything. But the reality of it is, you know, mental toughness is everything. You know, for football, you know, just saying I was a two-time captain, and mental toughness was more than anything. I knew I had all the physical gifts to go out there and play middle linebacker, but, you know, waking up in the morning, you know, how do you practice every day? How do you watch film? What standards do you hold yourself to? When something doesn't go your way, how are you going to react? And all that stuff, whether that's baseball, basketball, or football, you know, you just learn and you keep moving forward. And I think that's what sports can teach you. Mental toughness is just a great way of, you know, thinking of pushing through adversity, whatever it is. And sports has taught me that in my life. And, you know, I definitely, you know, if I have kids one day, they're definitely going to be going through sports and getting all these same life lessons.
Facts. And it has to happen. And I don't know if there's a better metaphor than sports when it comes to just life. And I think I'm realizing that now outside of the sporting world and all the things that I learned, you can apply that stuff to what you're doing, regardless of the entity. And yeah, you're damn right. I mean, there's just so many things that can kind of apply to that. Now, let's talk about MSU for a little bit. You know, you kind of touched on it at the beginning, talking about you had a few MAC offers, the Michigan State comes in and offers you this scholarship. And I think it's really easy to sit back now once your career is kind of done and people see what you did and the results that you were able to produce. But kind of coming into this spot, was there kind of a chip on your shoulder realizing that, yeah, I only had a few MAC offers, Michigan State kind of gave me a chance, but still, like, you know, what was kind of the mentality coming into Michigan State based off of your recruiting process and people not really wanting to give you a shot? Like, what was that kind of like for you? What was your recruiting process like for you? How did that kind of formulate your perspective first coming into college like that?
Yeah, well, like I said, I grew up in Ohio, so I grew up an Ohio State boy. I wanted to play down in Columbus. I went down there for a junior day. I was, you know, talking to a couple coaches, and I just remember this when they said I was too small to play inside linebacker for them. And that never left my mind. And from that point, I knew I wanted to play Big Ten football. I didn't care where it was. I just wanted, you know, Ohio State to be on the schedule. And when Michigan State came up with that offer, I committed on the spot at a spring game. I think it was 2015. Gotcha. And I knew that was exactly what I wanted to do. Me and my dad talked about it when we were going up for the visit. And, you know, that's kind of what happened. I wanted to go play Big Ten ball. I knew I had the ability. Maybe I didn't have all the stars in the world. I had two stars coming out of high school. But, you know, I knew my talents. I knew my ability. And I just wanted to go compete at the highest level. This is what I love to do. I love competition. I love football. So, you know, what not to do it at the top level, do it against Ohio State, against the Michigans, Penn State, go play at the highest stages and really showcase your ability.
Facts. No, 100%. And I think your physical ability most certainly shown through, whether it was the little playing time you got freshman year, I remember, but then obviously sophomore, junior, and senior year, doing your thing as well. But I think, again, like, you know, I never got the opportunity to play with you. I know who you are as a person. But again, like when it comes to on the field and these different positions, I never got to witness that firsthand. But from afar, whether it was watching on TV or watching from the stands or what have you, a big thing for me that shines through is your leadership ability. I know you're vocal, the way that you're able to connect with people. I think people can kind of tell who you are, you know, just from these first few minutes of this conversation. So, like, when it comes to your leadership ability and that ability to be able to connect with your teammates and your coaches and be that cat and be that dude, like, have you always ticked like that? Did that kind of grow as you grew up too? Was that always innate, or did you develop that or learn that along the way? Like, where does that leadership come from Joe Bocci? Because again, like, you know, I think it's easy to kind of take that for granted if you do hold those qualities, which you do, and sometimes you may not realize it. But like, from an outsider's perspective, like, yo, like, you got that stuff and you are that guy. So like, where does that come from? How does that work? Is there a way to kind of be taught that, or like your whole angle on that? What does that kind of look like for you?
I think it was always kind of natural for me. You know, whether, you know, one of the three sports, you know, whatever team it was on growing up, I was always the guy when something was going wrong, people looked to, whether that was to make a play, step up and say something, whatever it was, I was always that guy. And I just kind of fell into that mold. And, you know, over time, I just kept getting a little better and a little better, finding new ways to lead. And I think the two-time captain at State was huge for me. My first year, I learned a lot. We were down, went 7-6 after a great 10-3 year for us. And, you know, you learn a bunch. And one of the main things I learned was being a leader, being a captain, you can't be the same to everyone. You can't say the same things to certain people. You have to understand your personnel, understand who's around you. Everyone comes from different backgrounds. You know, everyone was brought up differently. You can't MF someone the same way that you could someone else. Some people you just need a little slap on the butt to get them going. And you got to understand that about your team, your personnel. And I think that is something that I carried away from those 2 years of being a captain at State. I was always a guy who just came in and did the right thing. And I think people saw that in me. And that's why I became a captain.
Yeah, no, I got you. And I think that's a great point, too. And I forget who I had on here, but I was kind of touching on those things where I think sometimes the old school adage of leadership is like, okay, you got your leadership, you got your coach, you got these different things in place, and they are who they are, and everybody else around them kind of has to adapt to that. But to me, and I don't know if it's a new school approach or maybe it's always been around, I was just never really had my eyes open to it. But no, like as the leader, it's almost like you're working for your personnel, you're working for the people around you. So how can you bring the best out of them by approaching them in the correct way? It's not, I am Joe Bocci or I am John Jakubik and you guys got to bound out of me and figure out how you want to operate around. Like, no, it's the other way around. So like, how did you kind of come to that realization? Because I think that's so profound. That's still kind of a lost art and maybe a perspective that people don't realize. Like, no, like as the leader, the CEO, the coach, like you work for your people. And if you can take on that perspective, then I think you get more out of them. You win more games, you make more money, whatever. So like, where did that come from? Was there kind of an aha moment where you figured that out? Or again, was that kind of always inside you? You just kind of brought that out once that leadership position was realized.
Yeah, I think that was just naturally in me, but I never wanted to be the guy to let someone down. That's just who I've always been. And I guess that kind of helps me in my leadership too. Now that you brought up this point, it was a great point. And I never want to be the guy for the reason that we lost, or I was scared to go make this play. I've always been the guy, like when something's on the line, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to do it because you guys have worked your tail off. I've worked my tail off, and I'm not going to be the one to let us down right now. So whatever that is, I've always had that kind of on my back where I'm going to go out there and just give everything I have because, you know, college football, the 9 months of the year, you're just training. Yep. You're just training, banging up on each other. And these are my brothers. I'm going to put whatever, you know, I have on the field every Saturday. And that's kind of always been my mindset. And I think people have seen that. People have seen that in me every year. And just continue to get a little better at it, a little better at it. And then one day, you know, hopefully I can be one of the best to do it.
Yep. No, facts. I love that. I love that. And, you know, what I think you brought up and kind of another phenomenal point when it comes to, you know, you guys said you're 7-6 years, 10-3 years. So things were a little up and down in terms of the results on the field. And again, to the outside perspective, we only see the games. We see the wins. We see the losses. We don't see everything else that goes on behind the scenes. And obviously it's cool to be the guy, the leader, when you're winning games, you're 10-3, you're 11-2, you're whatever. It's kind of cool to be in that position. But when shit's hitting the fan and you start losing games and people are booing you and people are questioning you, that's when your true colors shine through. And again, I was never able to witness that firsthand, but just from knowing people in the program and whatnot, like you were the same cat through thick and thin, through good or bad, what have you. So kind of talk about the experience of having to lead a team in the good and also the bad, because again, like you look at all these teams winning and it's all good, it's all gravy. But again, when failure kind of comes and that stuff starts to, the results aren't necessarily there from the outsider's perspective. Like, what is it like to lead in that situation? What do you kind of lean on in those situations? And how did you kind of navigate that process?
Yeah, I was always just the same person. My dad always said, just be the same person. You know, win, loss, you're always defined in what you do next anyway. So just be the same dude. And was going to say, my growing up, you know, everyone wants to be in the light. Everyone wants to have the success. But the realization of it is you're going to lose more times than you win. A lot of times in life, you're going to fail more than you succeed. But how do you, you know, bounce back? And after those losses, you always got to face someone, whether that's the media or coaches or your team. And you got to be the one to say something, and not everyone can handle that.
Right.
Not everyone's able to do that. But, you know, after a big win, everyone wants to go talk to these people. Everyone wants to be everyone wants to be on camera. You know, that's not what it's about. It's about just going up there, being yourself every day, still smiling. You're still living. You're still going forward. And, no, that's kind of always stuck with me. Just be the same person through thick and thin, through failure and success.
Yeah. No, I love that. And again, this is a perspective that just kind of popped into my mind, but you know, when you are seeing those losses and they seem to be kind of stacking up a little bit faster than you may like, I think it takes a really courageous person, again, to kind of step in that line, like take ownership of that and keep on swinging no matter what happens. So was it almost like, you know, this losing stuff is happening and obviously we don't like the results of what's happening, but like, how do you still kind of come out there and keep swinging? Because one thing that I realized, and I know a lot of other people realize, is yes, maybe y'all were losing some football games, but in regards to your effort levels and what you're still were trying to accomplish and how you're playing, like that shit never wavered. And I think to me, like, that's even more inspiring sometimes than it is winning games. Like your effort level was there, if not even better, regardless of situation. So was that like the coaches that kind of brought that in? Was that y'all kind of coming together and saying, you know what, we're still going to rock this thing out through thick and thin, no matter, like, where did that come from? How does that kind of stimulate? Is that kind of what you just touched on, or what's your angle on that aspect?
I think it's part of the culture that we had at State. You know, the chemistry we had on that team was phenomenal. A lot of people didn't see what we did Sunday through Friday and, you know, what it really took to get to Saturdays. And we never counted ourselves out of Saturday, never. We always thought we had a chance to win going into the games. So that's why we played so hard. And that's what was so inspiring about these teams that I've been on. Everyone every week came to work. Our saying kind of defensively, I know, was, you know, all we know is work. That's what we're going to do. And we would go out there every week. We'd try new things out. We'd work our tail off on the field. We'd prepare the same way, whether we were playing Ohio State or, you know, a lower level team. And we're going to go out there to win. And we believe we're going to win. We have a chance. And that's what, you know, made you want to come to practice every day, made you just love being around the guys. And that's why Michigan State's such a special place.
Facts, 100%. Makes a lot of sense to me, dude. And, you know, salute to on a great career. And obviously you guys did your thing. And sometimes the scoreboard didn't show up like people may have liked, but you know what? Y'all were the people in the arena. Y'all were the people doing your thing. And respect, man. So congrats on that. But now, you know, said and done, that chapter is closed. All well and good, but now it's time to move on to the next step, which is obviously the NFL. You're going to get your shot. And that whole experience of training for the combine, doing these pro days, different stuff, has obviously there's been a wrench thrown in that a little bit. But what I think was, where there was some normalcy, was training for that combine and getting that whole experience of the NFL combine in Indy. So if you can kind of touch about that combine experience, because again, to the outsider, you see it on TV, it looks all sexy, you're running your 40s, you guys look all jacked up, it's all cool, it's all gravy, but no, like, that's not the reality of the situation. So just overall, what was kind of your experience there at that combine? And if you could give us a little more insight into what is actually going on in situations like that, I think that'd be dope.
I think the biggest thing I took away from that is if you have a positive mindset going into it, it's going to be great. If you get that negative mindset of they're going to hold us here, they're going to make us wait a little longer, they're going to take some of my sleep away, well, then it's probably going to be a bad week for you. And you got to go into that with that mindset. I've dreamed about being in the NFL since I've been a little kid, so I knew this was part of it. I went there. It was a long 6 days, like I said, but – that's what I train for. That's what I, you know, I live for every day. It was awesome meeting all these coaches, seeing all the different coaches that you've grown up watching, who have won Super Bowls, who have been at the highest stage, and you're sitting there talking to them. It was a great experience for me. I loved it. Yeah. Definitely long days, though. Definitely long days. You're staying up to midnight, 1 o'clock, waking up 6, 7 in the morning sometimes. But wow. You know, it's what you got to do to be at the top of your game and, you know, be the best. They're gonna try and stress you out because football's not an easy game. It's not an easy game. So they want to see how you're going to react in these stressful situations. And that's kind of the main takeaway from it. You know, what's your mindset going in? Are you going to be positive about it? Or are you going to be a negative whiner? You know, what is it? And, you know, going in, being positive, I had a great time there those 6 days. And I'm glad it's over, that's for sure. But, you know, meeting all those teams, very, very fulfilling for me for sure.
Yeah, no, I got you. And again, to everybody else listening, you know, again, we see this stuff on ESPN, SportsCenter. They're running their 40s. They're doing their jumps. They're doing their field drills. But these cats are there for 6 days. So when it comes to kind of outside of the field work, Joe, you know, I know you're meeting with doctors, you're meeting with coaches, with scouts. Like, just kind of touch on what you guys are actually doing outside of just the field work, which is what we see. What's actually going on the other 97% of the time?
Yeah, I remember I flew in there the first day, and that night we had – informal meetings from basically 8 to 11:30 at night. Wow. And that was the first night. And then day 2 and 3, are all hospital days. You're at the hospital from the morning to, you know, the evening. And then at nighttime, again, from like 8 to 11, there's more meetings. So that's an everyday thing, that 8 to 11 block at the end of the night. But so we had the two hospital days. You had to take psychology exams. I had about six of them. They're about an hour long, 45 minutes long apiece. So those aren't easy to go through. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to stress you out, see who's going to fold and break in those situations. But, you know, they're going to put you through everything. And then all of a sudden, the last day, day five or six, is when you're actually on the field. And that's what you guys see. That's what the people, you know, watching the TV sees. But, you know, TV's the moneymaker. That's what, you know, they got to make happy. But, you know, for us, we were there 5-6 days working our tail off, doing all the different things, trying to get stressed out and having a good time with it, really. I met a ton of great people, great players. You know, you see some people like Cameron Jordan, Steve Smith walking around as well. We had Thomas Davis working with the linebackers. Wow. So, you know, it was a cool experience, though, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And it's not all glitz and glamour, I guess. Sundays are cool. Combine looks good, but work is still being done. And y'all are definitely earning your keep, no doubt about that. So, okay, so Combine is done. I know you said you went back out to Irvine, California, which is where you were training for that stuff. Pro Day is supposed to come up. That's not going to happen now. So what are you kind of doing right now in the meantime to train? Are you still getting it in? Are you at home? You know, what is that kind of looking like for you right now?
Yeah, well, right now I'm in Lansing, like we said, an Airbnb with the quarterback, Brian Lewerke, who was here. Played with me for the past 4 or 5 years. Great dude, one of my best friends. You know, right now we're just trying to get in any way we can. The other day, I remember I just ran around the block. There's a park about a half mile away, so I jogged there, did about 40 pull-ups on the swings, and then ran like a 0.7 mile, you know, track back to the place. Couldn't make it all the way. I was a little tired, but, you know, I'm trying to get it in any way I can right now, trying to do some sprints on the sidewalks, whatever it is. Because yeah, the world might stop a little bit right now, but everyone else is trying to get better. So you got to keep going.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I feel that big time. And, draft is still on schedule. So I know, you know, however they're going to try to make that happen. They'll make that happen for sure. Cause again, you got to make their money somehow, but, you know, I want to finish here, Joe, with a few more questions, just talking about life in general. And, you know, if there's some kids listening, here's the first question I have for you, dude. In terms of advice, you know, maybe it's a grade school kid listening, a middle school kid listening, maybe even a high school cat. They want to play ball in college, or maybe not even ball, but they want to get a scholarship for their education to college or what have you. When you kind of look at some characteristics that you can kind of hang your hat on to get you to where you want to go as a kid looking up to cats like you, like what would you kind of hang your hat on when it comes to that situation? Is it hard work? Is it perseverance? Is it grit? Like where would you kind of go? What would be some advice you would give to them at this moment in time that they could really take to and apply to their life immediately to hopefully get them to where they want to go with that stuff?
Yeah, I'll go back to what I hit on earlier with effort and toughness. You can always control those. No matter what your situation is, you can always control how hard you're going to something. And you know that. You're the only one who really knows that. You know, you can go look at yourself in the mirror and you can't lie to yourself. So if you went 100% and you gave it everything you had, well, great. You got to be, you know, happy with the results, you know, win, lose, draw, whatever it is. But you gave everything you had. And that's something that's always stuck by me. My dad always said growing up. And then toughness, obviously, there's situations where you got to be physically tough. But majority of the time, it's, you know, mental toughness. How are you going to react to adversity? I've been through adversity. So is everyone else in this world. But, you know, how do you persevere through it? How do you get through it and come out on the other side?
Yeah, 100%. And I've been big on toughness lately, too, kind of giving my own definition, which is what you touched on, ironically enough, which is being consistent in your approach day after day, no matter circumstance, right? So be the same person every day, whether it's good, whether it's bad, you're happy, you're sad. If you can wake up and be the same cat every single day, and it's not physical toughness, it's not fighting somebody, it's not lifting weight, that could come into play, but emotionally, spiritually, mentally, like if you can be consistent in that approach, and you're going to make that stuff happen. So when it comes to toughness, I guess, and kind of formulating that toughness inside of yourself, you know, obviously, I think I got it from sport, I got it from my parents, the environments I grew up in. Is there something else maybe you have to add in terms of if you do want to become tougher, you know, what can you kind of do to make that happen?
Yeah, you kind of reminded me of this. This is something that's always been, you know, said to me. My dad kind of, you know, drilled it into me for sure. Is no one is ever going to feel sorry for you. Wake up in the morning, no one's going to feel sorry because you're a little sore, you're a little tired. You just got to get up and go do it. You got a job to do. When you're a dad one day, like my dad, no one's going to, feel bad for him. He's got to go put his time in to put food on the table for the family. And that's just how it is. And that's been his mindset. And that's something that stuck with me. Through thick and thin, whatever it is, through any problems, he's going to find a way to do it. Because no one's ever going to feel sorry for you.
Facts. Yep. I love that. I love that. And to wrap it up, dude, thinking way down the line here, but I think perspective is key, and always thinking of the bigger picture is something that we need to do. So I'm talking 60, 70, 80, 90 years down the line. your time is kind of come and gone. You're in your grave, you've done your thing, but the impact that you've made on people in this world is still around. So again, when you're dead and gone, but people are still talking about you and the mark that you left on the world, what do you want people to say about Joe Bocci at that point in time, brother?
I don't know if I want them to remember me as a football player as much. I want to be remembered as just a guy who, just a good dude, a fun guy, positive guy, someone you can hang out with, someone you can go drink with, someone you could, go work out with, whatever it is. I'm just that guy who's always down for a good time, trying to live his life, just be positive with everyone around me. Surround myself with great people, great friends. I have a great family, and I'm excited for these next years of my life to see what it brings.
Yep, 100%. Yeah, if you can speak your truth and be genuine to yourself, I think that vibe certainly transcends in ways that we can't even imagine sometimes. So no question about it, dude. And Joe, man, that's all I got for you, dude. I'm going to let you go. I know you got a roll. So thank you so much for your time. And again, I know we never got the opportunity to play together, but we hung out together. And your influence is immense. The mark that you left on me is immense. And I appreciate you. I respect you, man. All the best moving forward. And no matter what kind of comes, I know great things are ahead, dude. So thank you. Love you, dog. And wishing you the best, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. Love you too, bro. And hopefully, we get to catch up sometime soon.
Yep, facts. Facts, facts, facts. And to everybody else out there, hope you guys had a fantastic week. You were able to find some sort of progress in some sort of way. And I think it's really easy to maybe make excuses as to why we cannot make that happen right now. But I strongly encourage us to get up off our butt and go do something that's going to make a positive mark, not only on ourselves, but most certainly on the world and the people around us too. So with that, I'm going to leave you guys. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys as well. And make it a great weekend. We'll see you guys back on Monday. And keep on rocking out there, okay? God bless you guys.
Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode and just listening to the podcast in general. It means the absolute world to me that you guys choose to take time out of your day and your busy lives to listen to me and the perspectives that I offer and the challenges that I give out and the conversations with the guests that I have on this show. And I very much hope it's bringing some sort of value into your life and you're finding benefit from these conversations and from these perspectives. And if you are one of those people, whether you've listened once or you've listened to all the episodes, I'm going to ask you right now, if you feel so compelled, to leave a rating and to leave a review, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or however you choose to listen to this show. I would very much appreciate that, because that's how growth happens. That's how I can continue to learn and understand this thing from your guys' ears, not just my mouth, but make this thing more of a two-way street. And the more ratings and the more reviews we get, the bigger growth we can find and the more people we can reach with this thing as well. So again, if you feel so compelled, if you feel like this thing has brought value, I would very much appreciate that. Okay. But with that, I'm going to leave you guys for the day. And as always, I really, really appreciate you guys, and God bless. Coach Coop.